Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Yud Dalid. We left off in daf on Sanhedrin daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are holding about 10-12 lines before the end of the page, maybe a little more than that. First one line is Mu'ula. We're discussing Smicha, and really the Gemara was discussing the Smicha Segla Arufa, but the Gemara goes on to say Tana Smicha, Smicha Sekenim Begimel, that both Smicha and Smicha Sekenim has to be done with three Dayanim. My smicha sekenim. So says the Gemara, what's the difference between smicha and smicha sekenim? They sound the same. Amar b'yochanan mismach savi. Now, smicha sekenim, translated, means to give smicha to elders, to give smicha to people who you want to call Rebbe. Says Rashi, mismach savi likros lem Rebbe. As opposed to smicha, smicha was referring to smicha segla arufa. Mismach savi means giving someone smicha. Amle abayil Rav Yosef, mismach savi b'shloshu minalan. How do I know that you need three people in order to confer smicha on somebody else? If you're going to say, because the pasuk says v'yismachus yad avalav, that Moshe Rabbeinu leaned his hands on Yoshua, well then it should be enough to have one person, because Moshe Rabbeinu was one person. So v'chitema, maybe you're going to say no. Moshe b'makom shivim v'chad kai, and this is a phrase that's going to come up a lot, that Moshe Rabbeinu, although he was only one man, he took the place of the 71 member Sanhedrin. He counted as all 71 members of the Sanhedrin. So maybe that's where you're going to say that you need a Beis Din in order to give smicha. Well, frak the Gemara, yeah, but then not only would you need a Beis Din, ihachi libay shivim v'chad, you should need a Sanhedrin agadol of 71 judges in order to give smicha. So says the Gemara, kasha. So how do we know that you need three dayanim in order to give smicha? Gemara says, we don't know how you know that you need three dayanim, because manavshach, if you're going to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu as an individual, you should only need one. If you're going to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu in his role as the Sanhedrin HaGadol, you should need 71. Now this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes is referred to as Sanhedrin HaGadol and sometimes referred to as just one person was the topic of one of the Rav's Yartzeit Shurim. In Chelek Beis of the Yartzeit Shurim, toward the very end, one of the last Yartzeit Shurim printed in the Sefer, is a shir called Takanas Moshe. And the Rav points out that on the one hand we have the Gemara, the Mishnah at the very beginning of the Masechta that says, Minayin l'gadol ashishal shum v'echad. How do we know the Sanhedrin HaGadol 71 judges? Shnemar asfili shivim ish mizikne Yisrael u'moshe al gabeyan. And what do you see? That Moshe counts as one of the 71, because he says, get me 70, plus me, that will be 71. Yet on the other hand, throughout this daf and the next couple of dafim, we're going to find over and over again that kaladavra gadol yivilecha dvarv shel gadol, that we learn from the pasuk that it said that Yisrael told Moshe Rabbeinu that all the davra gadol, every davra gadol should be brought to you. That what does it mean that he should be brought to you? It means the Sanhedrin shel shivim ve'echad. So we find that Moshe Rabbeinu plays the role of the entire Sanhedrin as well. So why is that? Is Moshe Rabbeinu a single person, or is Moshe Rabbeinu the Sanhedrin shel shivim ve'echad? So says Rav Soloveitchik that there are two functions of the Sanhedrin shel shivim ve'echad itself. He says Amnam Nira Dine Yesh LeSanhedrin Shtei Samchuyot. There are two roles that the Sanhedrin HaGadol plays. Number one, Aleph Kama L'Kol Beis Din Shel Gimel Chaf Gimel Chiyotibem. Sanhedrin HaGadol is a expanded, larger, more authoritative version of smaller Batei Din in a certain sense. What does a Beis Din of 3 and a Beis Din of 23 do? Tachliso hi hora'a upsak. It's to give a psak halacha, to be mevarer adavar, to clarify what the Torah says about any specific issue. That's something that a Beis Din of 3 does, something that a Beis Din of 23 does, and it's something that a Sanhedrin HaGadol of 71 does with even greater authority, because it's the greatest Sanhedrin in the land. But the point is that their number one, one of their roles is just hora'ah, to give a psak halacha. However, they have a second role as well. Beram yeshna masima acheres l'kol beizdin ubeizdin lebal mitafkido lahoros ulivsok. Aside from the role of beizdin to issue a psak, vainu kiyum dvarim. There's a concept that beizdin is there to lend credence to something, to give a little koach to something. That beizdin is there as an authority, not to clarify whether something is or isn't. What's the role of Beis Din, Rav Soloveitchik says, in a chalitza, for instance? You need a Beis Din for a chalitza. You don't need Sanhedrin HaGadol Shel Shivim Ve'echad. This is true of any Beis Din, even a Beis Din Shel Gimel. Why does Beis Din have to paskin about a chalitza? No. Beis Din has to be present for a chalitza. The presence of a Beis Din lends strength to whatever proceedings are going on. That's the role of Bezin as well. And there are certain things that can only be done with the Sanhedrin Shulshim Mechad, being Mosef Ali'ir Valazaros. Is that always a Psak necessarily? It may have a certain element of Psak to Paskin whether they need to or don't, but then to actually do it, to actually see it through, you need the role of the power of Beis Din. Just like we're familiar with the concept of Eidus Lebir Adavar and Eidus Lekiyum Adavar, that when it comes to Kiddushin, for instance, let's say we generally have a concept of Adas Baldin Kamei Eidin Dami, that the guy and the girl both come and they say, yes, we absolutely did a Kiddushin. He gave me a ring, said, all right, graciously. Girl says, I accepted it, but there were no Eidin there. So it's not that they're married, it's just we can't prove it. No, they're not married, because over there you need Eidus Lekiyum Adavar. The Eidin make it, the presence of the Eidin is what makes it happen. Not that the Eidin are the ones that are mevarer what actually happened. So if Salvechik is mechadesh, and as with many of us chidushim in the Yartzei Shiurim, once he's mechadesh it seems very obvious that Sanhedrin not only has a role as birur adavar to be mevarer the halacha, they also have a role l'kiyum adavar. So he says that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu is b'makom shem mechad, sometimes he's just one member. When it comes to birur adavar, there's no greater birur than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We got it straight from Shemayim. So there's no one that's going to be able to be mevarer the Torah in a more accurate way than Moshe Rabbeinu. Even a Sanhedrin HaGadol is not a greater birur than Moshe Rabbeinu. So then Moshe Rabbeinu is b'makom Shivim v'chad. When it comes, however, to Sanhedrin in terms of the Kiyum HaDavar, in terms of the authority that can only be the strength that can be lent to a proceedings, that you need the authority of Sanhedrin, then Moshe Rabbeinu is one of 71. He doesn't count as the entire Sanhedrin on his own. Rav Shachter used to always tell us over that Rav Soloveitchik said that, I don't know if he said the name of Soloveitchik actually, but he used to tell us that there was a sefer called, I forgot this, a Seder Hadoros. That there was a sefer called Seder Hadoros, and the sefer was written in the 19th century, and someone, and the author of the sefer, came up with one or two vartlach where he tried to show that a machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and somebody else is really a machlokas between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro, or Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen or something. And the author of the sefer went to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik for Askama, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, I'll give you Askama, however, you have to take out that piece, it's up in courses. You can't say anyone's going to argue on the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Birur Adavar. There's no one that's going to argue. You can't. That's, if you could argue on one thing Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, they argue on everything Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. That's what, similar to what the Rambam writes about no machlokas on halacha l'Moshe Misinai. You can't argue on something that was given to us directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. So you can't argue that someone would have a machlokas in halacha with Moshe Rabbeinu. The author of the Sefer said, I'll tell you what, you write the Askama, write that atop courses, I'll keep the Vart in there and I'll print your Haskama. So that's what he did. So he has the Sefer with the Vart and the Haskama from Rav Chaim. In later editions they took out the Haskama because they realized that it looks ridiculous that he writes Haskama, that it's a beautiful Sefer except for the Epi Courses part. And it's a big question. If you really believe something is Epi Courses, do you just rip out the page or do you destroy the whole Sefer? They had such a problem. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this with the writings of Rav Yehuda HaChasra and Chumash, that Rav Moshe says obviously it's a forgery because there are parts that are mamash Epi Courses. There are parts where he says, I think he says something like Vayihi bin Sava, those couple of psukim that are between the Nun Mafuchos are added by Dovid HaMelech or something like that. Mamash Epi Courses. So Rav Moshe said, okay, so that's Epi Courses, couldn't have been written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChasid. So you never know where there's going to be more Epi Courses in it. So maybe you have to destroy the entire Sefer because you never know where it's going to be snuck in, where the Epi Courses is going to be snuck in. So they didn't like the answer they got from Rav Moshe. They asked some Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael said, no, find the Vartlach that are Epi Courses, remove it, and then print it. So it's a big discussion. When you have a little bit of Epi Courses in the Sefer, do you destroy the whole Sefer? Because you never know where the guy snuck in a little bit more Epi Courses? Or do you just say, okay, we'll take out the Epi Courses. The part that's good Torah is good Torah. Probably depends who wrote it. Probably depends how much you can rely on the person who wrote it. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Orthodox rabbi should not participate at all in the writing of the JPS Chumash. That he thought that everything is going to be corrupted. He writes in one of his letters. It's interesting. A lot of people use it, but it's not. He wasn't so happy about it. Okay. Anyway, so says the Gemara. It's interesting if Rav Soloveitchik's analysis is correct. What's exactly the controversy about smicha? Meaning over here they have the machlokas or the discussion. What's the role of Moshe Rabbeinu in regards to smicha? Is it as a function that he is the Sanhedrin Shalshim Ve'achad, or that he's one guy and therefore you need only one person? So is smicha psak, or is smicha conferring a status? I would have thought smicha is definitely conferring a status, and in that regard, Moshe Rabbeinu is one person. He's definitely not Shimon Ve'echad. Unclear what the other daya would hold over here, that it's a psak that this person deserves smicha. I don't know. Amle Ravacha Bredi Rav Ravashi V'yada Mamish Samchanai. So he said to him, "Is that true that you would do smicha? Does smicha mean what it sounds like it means? Would you actually have to lean your hands on the person, or no? It just means you tell him that he has smicha." Samle Samchanai B'shma Kari Le Rabbi V'yavle Rishus and Meidin Dinei Knesos. No, smicha doesn't mean you actually lean on the person. It means you call him Rabbi, and once you call him Rabbi, he then has the ability to be done Dinei Knesos. That's smicha. So Frak the Gemara V'chad Lo Samich. So we said you need three people to confer smicha. One person can't give smicha. It says that we should remember Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava for good, because had it not been for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, dinei knasos would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. So frak the Gemara, nishtachu nigrasinu. What do you mean be forgotten? Why don't we just learn them? Dinei knasos are there. We have Talmud Bavli. We have Pesukim and Chumash. We could learn dinei knasos. Why would they ever have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael? So he says, no, it would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. But dinei knasos miYisrael, we wouldn't have the ability to judge dinei knasos cases, because you need bezin of musmachin for dinei knasos. So it's not that the halachos themselves would have been forgotten; it's that the ability to judge those halachos would have been lost. Because what happened? Shapa machas kozam malchus harish gzeral Yisrael. It happened once that the evil empire made a decree against Klal Yisrael. Shekala somechi harek, that anyone who gives smicha is going to get killed. We call it nismach yaharig, and anyone who receives smicha will get killed. V'ir shesomchin batecharev, and any city where smicha is conferred is going to be destroyed. Utchumin shesomchin behen yeakru, and the borders of a city, the tchumin of the city where smicha is given, will be uprooted. The tchum markers of the city. I don't know why that's such a big deal. I mean, they would mark off where the tchum Shabbos is. I assume that's what it means, that the tchumin are going to be neakru. So they knock over the markers, so it's a big hassle to know where the tchum is. I'm not sure why that must mean something else. Ma asi Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava do if he saw such a tremendous threat against smicha? Well, why did they go for smicha? Even before what Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava did. Of all the gzeros to make, they go after smicha. So the Ben Yoyada points out very pashut why they went after smicha. What are they going to be gozer against? They're going to be gozer against Shabbos. So Jews will, if they don't observe Shabbos for this year or next year, eventually they'll start observing Shabbos again. They go after tefillin, eventually Jews will start wearing tefillin again. They figure if they go after smicha, they'll get it forever. They just need a one-generation break. They just need to wait till one generation dies out, one generation of Mismachim dies out, without having giving it to the next generation, and then smicha will be gone forever. So they figured that the greatest impact they can have, negative impact they could have on the Jewish people, was by going after smicha. So what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava do to protect smicha and to keep smicha going? Halach v'yashav lo ben shnei harim gedolim. He went and he sat between two large mountains. He figured the tchum is pretty obvious between the two mountains. There's no way they're going to be oker the tchumin. Maybe there's some symbolism there that they would need to be oker harim in order to remove those tchumin. Ubein shtei ayaros gedolos. It was also a good hiding spot, probably. Ubein shtei ayaros gedolos, and between two large cities. Ubein shnei tchumei Shabbos, between two tchumei Shabbos. Bein ushal de shafaram v'samach sham chamisha zakenim. And he gave smicha to five people. Ve'elu hein, who did he give smicha to? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Lazar ben Shmua. Not a bad group. Right, he gave smicha to these incredible talmidim. Rav Avi Yosef Af Rav Nechemya. Rav Avi says, no, don't forget Rav Nechemya. He was there too. He was also a talmid in that class that received the smicha. Kivin shi kiruay ve'em behen. Once the enemies realized what was going on, Amalehem Banai Rotsu. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava told his new musmachim, you better get out of here. You better run. Amar lo Rebbe Matei Alecha. They said, if we run, what's going to be with you? I'm going to be in front of them like a stone that cannot be overturned. Marsha points out that just like a stone doesn't feel anything, so too I'm not going to have any tsar over my misa because I'm totally mekabelit with ahava. I'm ready to go, and this is perfectly fine. And in fact, he went. I mean, he stayed where he was, and they got him, and they killed him in the most horrific way. They stuck 300 spears in him to the point that his body was turned into a sieve. There were so many holes in his body. But bottom line is, what do we see from the story? That smicha was given by one person. That you don't need three dayanim in order to give smicha. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was one man, and he gave smicha. And says Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava achrini havu ba'day. Now he must have had two other people with him. And the reason those people aren't mentioned in the story is because the cover of Rabbi Ben Bava was so overwhelming that it would be an embarrassment for Rabbi Ben Bava to be mentioned along with anybody else. He was much greater than the other two who also conferred the smicha. A lot to discuss over here. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos writes, Yira'li ki kishetia askama mikol hachachamim v'talmidim. When you have the askama from all the rabbis and all the talmidim, l'hakdim aleim ish min ha'yeshiva v'yesimu osol l'rosh, to appoint one person as the head, hareza samuch, he becomes a samuch v'yismochu misha yirtza. And he then has the right to give smicha to whoever he wants. She'im lokein, because if we don't have that ability to just not through tradition of ish mipiyish, but through the entire rabbinate of deciding to give smicha to one person, if we would not have that ability, we would never be able to reinstitute the Sanhedrin Agadol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yayid Sheyeshuvu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mayid, that we will have a Beis Din again. Vashiva Shavtecha Kavarishona, it says in the Pasuk. There has to be some way to do it. And we know, V'zei Yeh Lefnei Bo HaMashiach. That's going to happen before Mashiach comes, that we're going to have a Sanhedrin HaGadol, that we're going to have a Beis Din again, we're going to have a Musmachim again. How are we going to have it before Mashiach comes, before Tchias HaMesim, if we don't have Smicha? So it must be that we're able to reinstitute Smicha as long as we have Haskam of everybody. One of the Rayas against the Rambam, the Rashba points out, is from this Gemara. If you're able to do Smicha without having someone who has smicha, you're able to give smicha just by the haskama of everybody, why was Rabbi Ben Bava willing to risk his life for it? It's a big deal, so you don't give smicha this generation. Next generation, the rabbis will get together, and they'll give smicha. If you're able to do that, why was he worried that smicha is going to be lost forever? The Rambam, for his part, Rambam addresses the issue. He raises the issue, and he says, no, I'll tell you why, it's pashut. What are the chances you can get all the rabbis in the world to agree on anything, let alone to agree on one person who they view as the Gadol Adar? You go back, look around today. Who's the Gadol Adar today? So for many Haredim in Eretz Yisrael, and for many Jews in America as well, it's Rav Eliashiv. Others will say, what do you mean? In America, we have to look up to what? Everyone will have in the Hasidic, they'll point to their Gadol. Who's going to decide on who? How are you ever going to get the Haskama of everybody? So the Rambam says, it's theoretically possible. Practically, it's impossible until the times of La'as Adavo, when Gula's at hand, and when there's going to have to be a certain sense of Achdus. That's when it's going to happen. Otherwise, forget it. It's never going to happen. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava realized. To get all the rabbis to agree on anything, never going to happen. The Margolius Yam also points out over here, the Gemara and Yavam, Estav Samach Beis Amid Beis. This group of rabbis is not an unknown group to us. This is a group of rabbis that after all the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, the 12,000 zugos of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died out. This is the group. It's these rabbis that Rabbi Akiva taught, and he was able to be Mamshech the Torah. Apparently, he wasn't the one who gave him smicha, though. We'll see. The Gemara will discuss a little bit. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, these were already Talmidei Chachamim. They went to get their smicha from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. They weren't primarily the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Also, another major issue over here is, was it permissible for him to be Moser Nefesh? Like this, what are you allowed to be Moser Nefesh for? So we know that we have a mitzvah v'chai behem. We have to live by the Torah. We're not allowed to be Moser Nefesh for whatever we want. We can't just give up our lives. That's suicide. Because of Mishnah, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perikei Halacha Aleph, asks why he was Moser Nefesh. Even when there's a Gezeiras Hashmad, and you're allowed to be Moser Nefesh for something other than the big three, even in such a case, it's only for losase. It's only when they tell you to violate something actively. And And even that, even if it's a lo sase, it could even be a minag that's a lo sase. Like the Gemara says, that arksa de mesana, that if we wear a certain type of shoes, and we avoid wearing the gayisha style of shoes, and they tell us that we have to change our shoes to the non-Jewish style, so then we can give up our lives for that. But that's because it's a don't. Any kumva say you're not allowed to give up your life for. So what was going on over here? How was he allowed to give up his life? So the Tshuvas Minchas Elazar, Chelgal of Simenayin Gimel, says as follows, I think he might say this Teretz, that over here, he could have started to run. Right, he could have ran away with them. Had he run away with them, then they would have gotten caught. He would have slowed them down, and they would have all gotten killed. So he knew that he had a status of a rodev, meaning maybe he thought he'd get away with it. He didn't think he was giving up his life. He had a good hiding spot. Once he heard they were coming, he said, "You know what? I'm willing to give up my life right now. I'll kiddush Hashem, because if I don't, you're all going to give up your lives. If I don't, we're all going to end up dying." And therefore, he figured he had a status of a rodev, because if he were to run with them, he would cost them all their lives. Okay, says the Gemara. Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda ben Bava Samche. Is this true that Rav Meir got his smicha from Rav Yehuda ben Bava? V'amar Rav Baruchan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kalam, Rav Meir lo samcha Rav Yakiva, Enu al Tova. That anyone who says that Rav Yakiva didn't give smicha to Rav Meir is mistaken. So you see that Rav Yakiva is the one who gave him smicha, and apparently the Gemara assumes you don't get smicha from multiple people. It used to be that was people still do it a little bit, but it used to be when Jews from Europe first started coming over to America, so a lot of the people would get smicha from as many people as they could in Europe, and then come to America. They figured the more smichas they had, the better parnas they could have. Rabbi Tanla said that it used to be a lot of these European talmidei chachamim, they weren't really ready for smicha. They were very, very young. Hear about this guy got smicha when he was 18 years old, this one... They gave smichas because they figured people were going to need to make parnas in America. So they gave smichas to people at a very young age, figuring that that it's kedai, that the person has integrity, he's not going to paskin what he doesn't know, and they figured they can just give him smichas so he'll be able to make some sort of parnasa. But apparently, back in those days, only one person would give smicha. What would be the point of getting two smichas? Meaning, when it comes to hetera, our smicha, so you could say, well, this one said I could paskin, but I don't know if everyone trusts this guy. I need an institutional smicha. I need this smicha. When it comes to the real smicha, what difference does it make? Once he got smicha, ish mi pi ish, and it goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, so nothing is added by getting a second smicha, so the Gemara assumes there's only going to be one smicha. So says the Gemara, I thought Rabbi Akiva was the one that gave smicha to Rav Meir. So answers the Gemara, Samchei Rabbi Akiva v'lo kiblu, Samchei Rabbi Ben Bava v'kiblu. Rabbi Akiva gave him smicha, but it was not accepted. Rabbi Ben Bava gave smicha, and it was accepted. Wasn't accepted? You have that. First of all, Rabbi Akiva's smicha wasn't accepted. That wasn't a good enough smicha. And second of all, people have the right to not accept it. Once a person has smicha, and it calls ishmi piyish, we just said, hey, you can't reject it. Once he has the smicha, he has the smicha. You can't not accept the smicha. So it could be that lo kiblu means he didn't want to accept it himself, that he thought he wasn't ready for it. So he wasn't ready to be mekabel smicha. Or it could mean, v'lo kiblu, if you need three people to give the smicha, it could be Rabbi Akiva wanted to give him smicha, but he couldn't find two other people who were willing to go along with it. Why wouldn't they? It's Rav Meir. Why didn't they want to give him smicha? What did they have against Rav Meir? So says Rashi, Levishadayin Hayu Bachur. He was still very young, and therefore they thought it wasn't appropriate to give such a young guy smicha. The Shulchan Aruch Shemishpat Simin Zayin Sif Gimel says, Einu Roy Ladun Elmi Ben Yurchas V'Mayla. A person should only get smicha when he's 18 years old. That's what the Achronim point out over here. How young was he when Rabbi Akiva wanted to give him smicha? He must have been really young, because Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Harei Anikav and Shivim Shana, right? He was already at the age of 18, he's getting smicha. So he must have had smicha. If they appointed him the Nasi, he must have had smicha. And nevertheless, apparently he wasn't too young. So Rabbi Meir must have been even younger than that. He must have been even less than 18 years old. We find that Rabbah lived in a grand total of 40 years, and Rabbah was Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years. So apparently, also, he was appointed to the position of greatest prominence when he was 18 years old. Apparently, 18 is the cutoff point for something like that. Amar Reb Shur ben Levi, Ein smicha b'chutz l'aretz. There's no smicha in chutz l'aretz. My Ein smicha, what do we mean there's no smicha? Ilei mitel dani dine knasas klal b'chutz l'aretz. If you want to tell me that we don't dan dine knasas in chutz l'aretz, v'atanan Sanhedrin uhagas bein barz bein b'chutz l'aretz, that we already learned that Sanhedrin is knowing both in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz l'aretz. No, it means we don't give smicha in chutzlaretz. Pshita somchin b'chutzlaretz v'nismachin ba'aretz hamrin adalau. Now clearly if the people giving the smicha in chutzlaretz and the people receiving the smicha are in Eretz Yisrael, that's pashut that it's no good, that it doesn't work. El somchin ba'aretz v'nismachin b'chutzlaretz mai. What's the din if it's the opposite? The people giving the smicha are in Eretz Yisrael, the people receiving the smicha are in chutzlaretz. Then what's the din? So tashma, Rabbi Yochanan mitzara le Rabbi Shem Baraba, the law of Gabaya Dilismachai. Rabbi Yochanan was mitzara that he couldn't give smich to Rabbi Shem Baraba because he wasn't there. Rabbi Shim ben Zirud Khadime Mon Rabbi Yonasan Melchmai, Vamil Rabbi Yonasan Melchmai, Vadime Mon Rabbi Shim ben Zirud, Chadav Gabaya Samchu, the Chadalov Gabaya Lo Samchu. One who was by him, who was near him, he gave smich to. One who was not near him, he didn't give smich to. Rabbi Chanina of Rav Hoshia have a kamishtak of Rabbi Yochanan the Mismachinu. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Hoshia wanted to give smicha to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan wanted to give smicha to them. I'm not sure. Love Mistayeh Milsa, have come and start to him, but he was unable to do so, and he was very upset by it. Amrle Lonit Starmar, Da Nun Mid Bes Elika Sinan. He says, don't be upset that you can't give me smicha. I come from the house of Eli. I come from the family of Eli. Damar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Minayin She'in Nismach in the Bes Eli. How do we know that you can't give smicha to the Bes Eli? Shnemar Lo Yeh Zakin Beveischa Kalayamim. That there can't be a Zakin in the Bes Eli for all of the days. My Zakin, what is Zakin mean? It doesn't mean someone who's of advanced age. Ilem is Zakin Mamish, if you were to think it means someone of advanced age, Vaksiv, Kalmar Bespeischa, Yamusu, Anashim. It already says in Pasuk that no one from the house of Eli is ever going to live to an advanced age. Ella, Smicha. It must mean Smicha. But you see that this is a raya that they can't give Smicha when even if the person giving the Smicha is in Eretz Yisrael, and the person receiving the smicha is not there, they couldn't give the smicha. They had to wait till they were next to them, till they were by them, to give the smicha. There seems to be a machlokas Rashi Rambam had to understand this Gemara, because the Gemara seemed to have shifted gears halfway through. It started talking about Eretz Yisrael Chutz Laretz, and then it started talking about Gabei or Eino Gabei. What's the issue? Is the issue Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz, that the person receiving the smicha is not in Eretz Yisrael? Or is the issue that the person receiving the smicha has to be there? He has to be present next to the person who's giving the smicha. Can you send a written smicha to somebody? Right? Let's say they're in Nafkamin is obvious. If they're in two different cities in Eretz Yisrael, so can someone send a smicha from one city in Eretz Yisrael to another smicha in Eretz Yisrael? If it's a din in being gabei, well then no, you can't. But if it's a din in Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz, then you can from one city in Eretz Yisrael to another city in Eretz Yisrael. Another nafkamina would be if the somech is on the Eretz Yisrael side of the border, right on the line, and the nismach is on the other side of the border, right on the line. They're standing 2 feet away from each other, right over the border. Can you give smicha in that way? So if it's a din in Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz, no. But if it's a din in being in front of him and not being in front of him, well, he's right in front of him. This seems to be a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, that the Rashi seems to put incredible emphasis on being befanav in our Gemara. The Rambam is very clear that it has nothing to do with befanav, that it has to do with being in Eretz Yisrael versus not being in Eretz Yisrael. The Margolius Hayam points out, why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava risk his life to give smicha by gathering the group together between two mountains? Why didn't he just write a letter? Right, why couldn't it's much less risky. He's much less likely to get caught if he just writes a letter. So it could be that if you hold that they have to be in front of him, so it could be that that's why he didn't do it. That's why he needed to gather them together. What if you hold like the Rambam that it's all a din in Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz? Why couldn't you just write them a letter? Well, it's a shas hashmat. He didn't know where anybody was. People were probably being chased out of Eretz Yisrael and were running, and he had to make sure that the people he was giving smicha to were still there. Maybe that's why he needed to gather them together. Okay, says Gemara Vayta, Rabbi Zeira, have a mitmar l'mismachei. Rabbi Zeira very much wanted to give smicha. Dam Rabbi Lazar li'olam avikavil v'kayim. I'm sorry, not Rabbi Zeira very much wanted to avoid receiving smicha. He wanted to. He didn't want the kavod. So because it says l'olam avikavil v'kayim, a person should always be kavil, which means like in the dark. He should try to be as invisible as possible. Don't put yourself in the spotlight. Kivin d'sham l'hadam Rabbi Lazar ena d'malu l'gedula elim kein mochlan al kalav anosav. But then he heard the statement of Rabbi Lazar that a person when he's olu l'gedula gets a mechilas avonos, so it's a free Yom Kippur, get out of jail free card. So he figured it's a good thing to get smicha. So amtzile anafshe, he was willing to tolerate getting smicha in order to achieve the mechilas avonos. He had this tremendous distaste for kavod and for the spotlight, but he was willing to do it in order to achieve the mechilas avonos. When they gave smicha to Rabbi Zeira, they sang for him as follows: Lo kchal v'lo srak v'lo pirchus v'yal aschein. He doesn't need any makeup and he's beautiful anyway. Obviously not referring to his, probably not referring to his physical beauty, but referring to the fact that his godless in Torah was, you don't need any bells and whistles. You know that his godless in Torah just shines right through like a beautiful woman who doesn't need anything to make her up. Her beauty just will be obvious to anyone who sees her. Kisamchul Rabbi Ami l'Rabbi Asi, when they gave smicha to Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, shari l'uachi, they sang as follows: Kol min dein smochu lana. Any people like this should get smicha. Lo tismochu lana lo misarmitin v'lo misarmisin. We shouldn't give smicha to the sarmitin and the sarmisin. V'amri lo lo michamisin v'lo miturmisin. And some say not the chamisin, not the turmisin. What are all these people? So Rashi says sarmisin are people who turn things around, like sarei sesamikra v'darshehu, to flip things around. They're mahafchin as time Torah. They corrupt the Torah. Sarmitin is like a shmata, that they don't give proper explanations. They treat it like something that's just nothing that has to be respected and given proper attention to. Chamisin are people who refuse to share Torah with other people. They know the logic for halachos and they are able to explain things, but they choose not to. And Tormisin, Rashi says, no idea. I've explained the other three, I can't think of anything else, but it's obviously something bad. So we don't want to give smicha to any of these types of people. The Aruch has some sort of explanation. Whatever it is, but we want to give smicha to someone like you. Rabbi Avo, ki ava asim misifta lebei kesar, when Rabbi Avo came from the misifta to the Bei Kesar, nafki matronisa de Bei Kesar, the matronisa de Bei Kesar came out, umesharyan lehim, would sing to him, Rabbi Diame, the rabbi of his nation, Madbarnadu Masay, the leader of his nation, Botsina de Nahora, the shining light, Brich Masich L'Shalim, Shalom Aleichem, glad to see you. Unbelievable, no, that a woman came out singing for him. That's sounds like a Kalisha issue. He was probably couldn't control it. Someone from the Bei Kesar, some non-Jewish woman from the Bei Kesar, comes out singing for him. What's he supposed to do? He can't tell her to stop singing. He's got the Bei Kesar right there. It's going to be problematic for him. So it's a very difficult issue. Unless maybe it's, you could argue that it's Shirei Kodesh and that there was more than one woman. The Sri Deish has such a tshuva about youth groups in Switzerland, I think, sent a tshuva. Shaila to the Sri Deish, they had Kiruv groups, like an NCSY type of thing, where they were Makariv youngsters who didn't have much Shaychus, and they had the boys and girls together, and the boys and girls would sing together. So they asked the Sri Deish, first of all, about having the boys and girls together in the first place, and if you're going to have that, can they sing songs? So he gave a heter. He said that if it's Shirei Kodesh, they're singing holy songs, so maybe it's less of a chashash of Yehurim, and Trei Kalil Mishtami, so maybe if it's everyone singing together, it won't be a problem. Okay, that's a heter that's been used, by the way, in it's been used in a lot of places, but Rabbi Teitz's daughter once told me that around Rabbi Teitz's table that all the girls sang Zemiros with everybody else. Apparently that was a fairly popular thing to rely on, a popular heter to rely on, that Zemiros or Shirei Kodesh, everyone around the table singing at the same time. It's not only the girls that are singing. So apparently they used to rely on that a lot. I think in around our neighborhoods we don't rely on that so much. You don't hear that happening too much. So, whatever it was, that was the heter that they gave. But over here it must have just been that she wasn't a Jew. She came out and she sang from. What was he supposed to do? Arifas egla b'shlosha. To do the egla rufa, you need three dayanim. Tan rabban v'yatzu zekeinecha v'shoftecha. Zekeinecha shnayim, shoftecha shnayim. We see zekeinecha is reference to two people. Shoftecha is another two people. Vein bezin shakel mosif nalein rodecha reikan chamisha div Rabbi Yehuda. You can't have a bezin of four people. You need to add another guy. So that's how you have five people. Rabbi Shimon Omer, zekeinecha shnayim. Vein bezin shakel mosif nalein rodecha reikan shlosha. No, zekeinecha means two. We don't darshan v'shavtecha as another two. So you have three members of the Sanhedrin, of the Bezdin, that deals with Egla Rufa. For Rabbi Shimon, hai shavtecha may avilei. What does Rabbi Shimon do with shavtecha? Why doesn't he darshan it to teach me another two people? He uses shavtecha to teach me that not an extra number of dayanim, but rather what kind of dayanim you need. That you need dayanim who are members of Sanhedrin, who are from part of the Sanhedrin Gedola. Rabbi Yehuda, Ziknei Zikenecha Nafka. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we can learn that from Ziknei Zikenecha. The fact that it says Zikenecha, not just Ziknei. For Rabbi Shimon, Imi Ziknei, Hava Mina Ziknei Ashuk, Chas Rachmana Zikenecha. Rabbi Shimon says, no. We need Zikenecha just to tell us that these are people that need to be Musmachin. But that still isn't going to tell us that they need to be people who are members of the Sanhedrin Agadol. So that you need Shavtecha for. V'iksiv Zikenecha, Hava Mina Sanhedrin Katana. Had it said Zikenecha, I would have thought Sanhedrin Katana, Chas Rachmana, V'shavtecha, M'chadish V'shavtecha. Had it just said Ziknei, I would have said anybody, any Ziknei Ashuk. Had it said Zikenecha, I would have thought members of Sanhedrin Akitana. That's why it has to say Shavtecha, to tell me they have to be members of the Sanhedrin Gedola. Rabbi Yehuda Gamar Ziknei, Mivisamchu Ziknei Eda Sidehem. And Rabbi Yehuda learned Ziknei, from the pasuk of Samchu Ziknei Eda Sidehem. Mala Alan Miuchadin Shabbat Eda. Just like over there, it's obvious that we're dealing with members of Sanhedrin Agadol. Afkan Miuchadin Shabbat Zikenecha. Over here as well, we're dealing with Miuchadin Shabbat Zikenecha. We're dealing with members with people who have smicha. So therefore, you could have Zikenecha to tell me that it needs to be Sanhedrin Agadol. E Aleph Leil of Kulamei Hasum Zikenecha V'Shavtecha Lamli. Once you're going to learn from there, though, why don't we learn everything from there, and then you won't even need Zikenecha and Shavtecha. Ela Vav V'Shavtecha L'minyana. Rather, we don't learn from there. The Vav of V'Shavtecha comes to add the extra two people. Rabbi Shimon does not add the extra two people. What does he do with the Vav? Rabbi Shimon Vav Lo Darsh. Rabbi Shimon doesn't darshin the Vav. Ela Me'ata V'Yatzu Shnayim U'Madadu Shnayim L'Rabbi Yehuda Harei Tisha L'Rabbi Shimon Shiva. Wait a second. If you're going to take any word in the Parsha, Vegla Rufa, and any time it says a plural, you're going to add another two Dayanim. So then it also says Viyatsu, right? It also says Umadidu. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that should be four more Dayanim. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it should also be four more Dayanim. So Rabbi Yehuda should end up with nine Dayanim, and Rabbi Shimon should end up with seven Dayanim. So Ahumi Bayle Chetanya. No, we need those words in the pasuk for something else. We have a Brisa. Viyatsu, Hein Velo Shluchan. We dash and they have to go out, not the Shluchim. Even if the person is found right next to one of the cities, you still need to do medida. Meaning, what's the measurement that we do by Agla Rufa? You find a dead body in between two cities, you measure which one is closest. Let's say one city is 10 miles away and one city is 10 feet away. You still have to measure which one is closest. It's pretty obvious which one is closest to the dead body. Still, you do medida. Even if he's not found, but li'il ear, you still do medida. What you see from here is that the din of medida is really a double halacha. There's the medida has a status of being mevarer, which one is actually karov, and it's also gzeres hakasa, that part of the procedure of Egla Rufa is doing this public maisa of medida. It's a way of publicizing the entire procedure of Egla Rufa is by doing this medida. So the medida is not something that's only to clarify what was. It's also, and it's not just to be mevarer, it's also something to part that has to be an integral part of the procedure of the Egla Rufa. It's a discussion about the Minchas Chinuch, the mitzvah Tav Kuf Lamed. Os Ches discusses whether the whole procedure is only to be mevarer, or once you're mevarer, you don't need to do this all of this. So this is a raya that it's not only is it, it's clearly to be mevarer also, but not only is it to be mevarer, you do the medida. There's a discussion with Gemara Bava Basra says that if you have a rov, let's say you have one city that's much larger, but it's a little bit further away, and one city that's much smaller, that's closer by. So you go by the rov or the karov, the city that's larger or the city that's closest. So the Gemara says you don't go by the karov, you follow the rov. So the Rambam says, yeah, the city that's the rov is going to have to bring the Egla Rufa, and based on that, the Rambam says, because the whole idea of Medida is to figure out which one the dead body most likely came from. But rov is a greater mevarer than karov is. So it's more likely it came from the city that has more people than the city that it's closest to. Rov is a greater mevarer. Says Minchas Chinuch, no, Medida is not a mevarer. He says, and it's not true. The city that has rov doesn't bring the Egla Rufa. The Gemara never says that. The Gemara says when there's another city that has more people that's a little bit further away, you don't bring the Egla Rufa from the smaller city. It never says you do bring it from the larger city. No, you don't bring an Egla Rufa at all in such a case. The Egla Rufa is only when the two cities are exactly the same size and when the dead body is found closer to one of them, that's when you bring the Egla Rufa. Otherwise, there's no din of Egla Rufa. Not that you bring the Egla Rufa from the other city. Okay, so this touches on that discussion, what the role of Medida is exactly. Says the Gemara, Masisim Lo Kiyatana. The Tanya Rav Lazar ben Yaakov Amar Viyatzu Zekeinecha Vishovtecha Zekeinecha Zu Sanhedrin Vishovtecha Ze Melech V'Kohen Gadol. Apparently the Melech and the Kohen Gadol have to be involved in Egla Rufa as well. Our Mishnah never said that. Melech Dechsev Melech V'Mishpat Yamin Aretz. Kohen Gadol Dechsev So you see, Shoftecha is a reference to the Melech B'Kohen Gadol, according to this Braisa. Ibayilu, Rav Lazar ben Yaakov B'Chada Palig, or B'Tarti Palig. Is Rav Lazar ben Yaakov arguing on 1 point or on 2 points? The Melech B'Kohen Gadol Palig is arguing on the idea of the Melech and Kohen Gadol being involved. Al B'Sanhedrin Yikrab Yudah Yikrab Shimon, but in terms of how many actual members of the Sanhedrin you need, he'll hold like either Rabbi Yudah or Rabbi Shimon. Adilma B'Sanhedrin Nami Palig, Damar Kula Sanhedrin Binan. Or maybe he holds, not only do you need the Melech, not only do you need the Kohen Gadol, you need the entire Sanhedrin Agadol. Amar Rav Yosef Tashma will bring a raya. Matana base pagi vihimralei. And let's say the Zaken Mamre finds the Sanhedrin Agadol not in their location. He finds them all convening on base pagi, and then he argues with them. Yachalte Amra so Amra. I might think that makes him a Zaken Mamre. Tamalomer v'kamta v'alisa l'makom l'amit shemakom garden. That no, he has to argue with the Sanhedrin Agadol in their location. So d'nafakama, how many members of the Sanhedrin were on the base pagi? Ilim miktsasan. If you want to say it's just some of them, dilma hanach dika kavai. Well then, if it's just some of them, maybe the ones that are remaining in the Lishchas Hagazis hold like him, so he's not a Zaken Mamre. El Pshita Denafakulu, must be that all of the members of the whole Sanhedrin Agadol were on the base Pagi. L'mai, what are they all doing there? Ilim L'dvar HaRashus, if they're just stopped taking a Shpatzir, Mimotsu Nafke, are they just allowed to walk out? The whole Sanhedrin is just allowed to walk out? V'aksiv Sorech Agan Asar Al Yechzer HaMazek, which means that you need at least one third of the Sanhedrin Agadol to remain at all times. El Pshitul Dvar Mitzvah. If they were leaving, if all of them were leaving, it must be they left for a Dvar Mitzvah. Hechidami, Lav L'medidas Eglo. What kind of Dvar Mitzvah would you need the entire Sanhedrin to participate in? It must be for Egla Rufa. Oh, so you see that there's such a daya that for Egla Rufa, you don't need, it's not that you need five, it's not that you need three, you need the entire Sanhedrin. For Avloz Min Yaakov, Hidamar Kuli Sanhedrin Be'inad. Amrle Abaye Lo. Abaye says, no, that's not exactly, that's not what's going on. Kon Shiyatsu Lahos Valir Val Azaros. Maybe they went out to add to the Ir and the Azaros. They weren't going out for Egla Rufa. You need the Sanhedrin Gadol, 71 judges, to be Mosif on the Ir Vazaros. Tanya Kavasi Rav Yosef, you have a brisa that supports Rav Yosef. Matzana Beis Pagi Vehimra Lein Kigon. What were they doing out by the Beis Pagi? She Yatsu Lemedidas Egla Ulahosav Ali Irvala Azaros, or to be Mosav on the Irvala Azaros. But what do you see? That for the Egla Rufa, apparently, we have a Tana that holds that you need the entire Sanhedrin Agadol of 71. Yachl Shate Amrasa Amra'a. I might think that if a person tries to become a Zakein Mamre when the Sanhedrin is there, that it counts. Tamalom Rakam Talisal Makom Melamet Shah Makom Garim. Just another few lines. Netter of in order to be poda netter vayu meiser sheni, you need three people. Tan rabbanon ezu meiser sheni shein dam of yudun. Where do you have meiser sheni where the value is not known? If it starts spoiling or going bad, then the value is not so clear. Tan rabbanon meiser sheni shein dam of yudun poden also b'shlosha lekuchos avlo b'shlosha shein lekuchos. If we need to evaluate meiser sheni, we need to get three people who know what they're talking about with commerce, with these types of issues. But people who are not buyers in general, you can't use them. People who are not experts in market values should not be used to evaluate Meister Sheni. Even if one of them is a guy, that's fine. And even if one of them is the owner, as long as he's an expert. What if three people all share the money together? Can they serve as the tribunal to figure out the value of the Meister Sheni? Tashma, Ishu Shtei Nasher, Podin Meister Sheni, Shein Dam of Yudun. A man and his two wives can get together to be Pod Meiser Sheni, and that counts as three people. So you see that three people who share the same bank account, because a man with his two wives obviously shares the same bank account, that's good enough. Says Gemara, it's not a raya. Not every married couple shares the same bank account. Dilma Kagon Rav Papu Basaba Sara'a. Basaba Sara'a was apparently a very independent woman, and even though she was married to Rav Papa, she had her own bank account. So it's not a riot just because a man and his two wives can be Padma Sasheni, that people who share the same bank account can do so as well. Okay.